Good to be back again. Good to see you here tonight. Appreciate so much your hospitality. People ask me about where I'm staying. Candlewood Suites, I'll put in a plug for them. Really nice room, nice accommodations, full refrigerator, stovetop, microwave, all the good stuff. All the comforts of home except my wife isn't with me. But I thought of a quote by Mark Twain. One of the mysteries of life is why a snorer can't hear himself snore. But my wife can hear me snore, that's for sure. So she's probably grateful that she's at home and I'm here for a while, because she does hear me snore. I'm a snorer. Thank you so much for the hospitality of the Mims and the Rumbas. Earl, are you here tonight, Earl? Took me to in the back, okay. Texas Roadhouse the other night spoiled me rotten. All of you are. I mean, I tell you, this is great. I'm tempted to stay longer, but I know better than that. I can't do that. But you guys are going to make it hard to leave, I can tell you that. But all of you have been so kind. It's the Smiths that I mentioned them and others that have really made me feel at home. Appreciate that so much. Before I begin tonight, I want you to pray for a young lady that works at the desk at the motel. I gave her a track witness tour the other night, and I've been trying to make friends with her and let her know that I'm concerned about her. And she wants to meet tonight in the lobby of the motel after church, about 7 o'clock. Would you pray for that? I'm sure she's not saved. She's from Guatemala, speaks perfect English, so we can communicate. But pray that the Lord will enable me to give her the gospel clearly, and that the Lord will open her heart to the truth. Just pray for her. Kate is her name. I'm sure I'll find out more tonight, but pray for Kate, if you would. The Lord will give me understanding and wisdom as I talk to her. Turn in your Bibles once again, if you would. Joshua 14. You'll remember last Sunday night that I spoke from Joshua chapter 4 on the miraculous crossing of the Jordan River. The importance of memorials. And I decided to stay in Joshua and look at the importance of an individual, a man by the name of Caleb. Years ago, I took a tour, my wife and I and some other folks took a tour of Israel. If you can possibly do it, go to Israel. It's an amazing trip. But we were in one of the national parks there, and there are several of them. I was waiting on my friends for some reason, and I heard an Israelite call for his dog. And he said, I'm not sure of all the Hebrew words he used, but I could pick out one, Caleb. And evidently he had called his dog, dog, because that's what Caleb means. In the Hebrew, it means dog. Now, if any of you are named Caleb, I don't mean to insult you at all tonight. But that's the original meaning of the name. Now, since Caleb's story that we read about in the Old Testament, most people realize that Caleb's name is associated with godliness, with courage. So any time a child is named Caleb, that's a good thing. But I'll never forget that man calling his dog Caleb. Now, why Caleb's parents would call him that, I have no idea. But they did. And we can certainly say more of the man. Caleb was one of the most noble men in all biblical history. He was courageous, constant, and confident in his Lord. Like Abraham before him, he believed the promises of God. He depended on those promises fearlessly and claimed the land that was promised to him by God himself. We first meet Caleb 45 years prior to this record in Joshua chapter 14. 45 years. It's a long time to wait to go into the promised land. He was very patient. He had done battle with Canaanites under Moses. Moses selected him and 11 others to go into the promised land to search it out. And of course, to bring back word about the character of the land, the people. You know the story. 10 of those spies came back with an evil report, the scripture says. But there were two men that gave a good report. And that was Caleb and, of course, Joshua. They believed the promises of God, that God would give them this land. And so they trusted in God's promises. So only Joshua and Caleb remained loyal to him. God condemned the other spies, punished his people. And 38 more years, they were already 2 years in the wilderness, but 38 more years they had to wander until that present generation died off before they could go into the land. And that meant that only Joshua and Caleb and their families, and of course Moses, were left. Now, after a 7-year conquest of the land, 3 campaigns against the Canaanite tribes, great miracles that occurred, Joshua assembles the people at Gilgal, the military headquarters, for the apportionment of the land among the tribes. Now, 2.5 tribes had already received their portion in the Transjordan area, east of the Jordan River. But the other tribes had yet to receive their portion. And so lots were cast, an appropriate way of determining God's will in the Old Testament. And the first lot fell to Judah. But before Judah could be satisfied, a man, an old fellow, raised his hand and said, "Wait a minute. There's a promise that needs to be fulfilled." And this is what Ray read about earlier this evening in Joshua chapter 14. Let's look again at verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea.'" Caleb affirms, "My brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt." Look at verse 8. "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." If we could possibly find Caleb's tombstone in Israel today, I'm sure that written on it would be these words: "I wholly followed the Lord my God." Several months ago, I took one of my grandsons, who had just graduated from high school, on a trip as a gift. We did a tour, just he and I, we did a tour of New England, mainly Massachusetts and Rhode Island. We went to several churches, and we went to cemeteries. Now, frankly, after a while, he was a little tired of cemeteries. But I said, "Jonathan, you can learn a lot of theology in cemeteries. Look at the epitaphs, and it will tell you a lot about the person who's buried there, whose soul hopefully is in heaven." And so I trust that he learned something from that trip. He mentions it on occasion. But I wanted him to get the impact of faithful men and women who had served God in early America. Caleb was one of those faithful men who served God in Israel's day. So this faith, this wholehearted faith, the living God rewards. Folks, listen to me, young people especially. God always rewards faithfulness, always does. Stay faithful, no matter what. Stay faithful. That was Caleb. Be a Caleb. Anyway, I want us to see three aspects of this wholehearted faith and what propelled Caleb to have the kind of courage that he did. I want us to see, first of all, this wholehearted faith was indeed a courageous faith which relied on the power of God. We see that in verses 6 through 8 of our passage. This courageous faith is expressed in a personal conviction. Look at verse 7 again. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. As it was in my heart. What he means here is I spoke the truth. I spoke the truth about what I saw. Caleb had a heart of integrity. We note that again in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once." In the Hebrew, if we translated that literally, that phrase, it would say, "To go up, let us go up. To go up, let us go up." There's a repetition there. And in Hebrew idiom, when something is repeated like that, it's for emphasis. Caleb is saying, "To go up, let us go up. We've got to go up. Now's the time. Let's get this job done. For we are well able to overcome it." The other spies are saying, "What? What are you talking about? There are just 12 of us. The Anakim, they're giants. We're not able to do this." Yes, we can. God is much more powerful than they. What a scene it must have been. These two indomitable warriors, Joshua and Caleb, supporting their leader, Moses, standing before a cowering, murmuring mass in a great contest to win the hearts and minds of the people, to do great exploits for God. 10 of them said, "We can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are." And Caleb dared to disagree. "They may be stronger than we are, but they're not stronger than God. No one is." The other spies lied. Caleb spoke from his heart, which was a heart of integrity, a heart that was captured by the truth of God. And so he spoke the truth. In effect, he says, "We're certainly able to overcome the land and the power of God." So he had a divine perspective. And that's what we need today. We need to have a divine perspective with the eye of faith. And God always rewards faith. Luther, Martin Luther, like Caleb, was a courageous man. He's one of my heroes in church history. We have what is called ABF in our church, Adult Bible Fellowship. We have three or four different classes going on at the same time each quarter. So we change classes every quarter. The first quarter of next year, I've been asked to teach the Reformation. I can hardly wait. I love that subject. Luther, of course, in Worms, 1521, gave his famous defense of the faith, his "Here I Stand" speech, before representatives of the Pope, the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V, and all of the nobility and prelates that were there. And he fully believed that he would never return alive. John Huss, nearly 100 years before that, had been promised safe passage to Constance. He was told that he would be safe, he could return home. Well, they lied to him, and he became a martyr. I've seen his epitaph on a big boulder just outside of Constance, Germany. Anyway, Luther believed that that same fate would happen to him, and he wrote a friend just before he left. He said, "This is no time to think of safety. I must take care that the gospel is not brought into contempt by our fear to confess and seal our teaching with our blood." Wow. You old timers out here, and you look around at these young people, they may be facing circumstances that we don't even realize that they're going to face someday. I'm no prophet nor the son of a prophet. I have a hard enough time being a priest. But I believe persecution is coming to this country if the Lord tarries. I hope he comes back for us. But we cannot continue on in disregard of the commands of God with all the debauchery and ungodliness that even our leaders endorse and legislate. Immorality is being legislated and endorsed by our court systems. God is not going to wink at that. And Satan is behind that. And who is he going to come after? Well, he roams about seeking whom he may devour, and that's us, the elect. And the Lord has laid this on my heart. The older I get, the more compelled I am to say this and to do this. We need to fortify the faith of our young people. I think I told you I have a Bible study with my youngest grandson every Friday. Look forward to getting back and doing that with him again. The main reason for that is to fortify his faith. And that's what I'm trying to do with our other grandchildren. I'll write them letters, text them, email them, to try and challenge and encourage them to stay true to the faith. Because they're going to face things that I have never had to face in my life. And so it's very important to do that, to make Calebs out of them, even though none of my grandchildren are called that, but you know what I mean. God's power was the ground of Caleb's courageous faith. His complete obedience to God, his recognition of the power of God sustained him, sustained his courage. He relied on that. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, it says, "If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them." He spoke in past tense. It's a done deal. Why? Because God promised us this land. And he has the power to take care of all these giants. Don't worry about it. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them, he says. Caleb didn't minimize the problems, but he maximized the power of God to solve them. He knew that in the strength of the people, the giants and fortified cities could not be taken. But in the power of God, they could be. They could do all things through God who strengthened them. And we have that same promise as the church. So Caleb had seen God's power many times. He knew. He witnessed it. And Caleb, with Joshua in holy indignation, admonished the people that they need not fear what seems impossible, because God is the God of the impossible. It's really neat. It's really cool, as my grandkids say, to see God do things that are humanly impossible. Isn't it neat to see that? Yeah, we've seen that. So there are going to come times when our faith will be tested, when our courage will be attempted to be undermined by Satan. But we need to focus on the power of God as Caleb did. Robert Morrison, one of the early missionaries to China, went there on an American vessel because the English East India Company that was in charge of sailing to China, did I say India? China, I should say. They wouldn't take him there. So he had to go all the way to America to get a boat that was on the way to China, and he finally made it there. Very dangerous place at that time, still is. But just before he left, the ship's captain asked him, "Do you really expect to make an impression on the idolatry of the great Chinese Empire?" And Morrison replied, "No, sir, I don't. But I expect God will." And he did a tremendous work there. He translated the Bible. It was illegal to do that. But he nevertheless did it in both languages, both Chinese languages, and made the Word of God accessible to many, many people there. So when you are tempted to give up, when you're tempted to look at the physical and say we're unable, realize that if God has promised it, He'll accomplish it through His power. And that's what we rely on. So Caleb had a courageous faith that relied in the power of God, but he also had a constant faith in the promises of God. Look at verses 9 through 11 with me again. "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness." And then he says, "Lo, I am this day 85 years old." And then he adds, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." The constant faith, Caleb's constant faith, was expressed in perseverance. Now, perseverance won't save, but it proves who is saved. You know, you can make a profession of faith and fall away from it, but those who continue on faithfully to the end prove that they are saved. And this was true of Caleb. And the winds of war, the winds of time and of old age came to him, but he was like a tree planted by the waters whose roots sink deep into the ground and draw the sustenance from the earth, kept him going. When my wife and I first moved down from Michigan 10 years ago to Greenville area, we bought a house that had all kinds of shrubs and trees. Some of those were Bradford pear trees. Bradford pear trees don't actually grow pears, but they're in the shape of a pear tree or a pear. And they're lovely shade trees, but they're very brittle. A wind blows, the limbs break off. And by the way, we have powerful winds in South Carolina. We had 5 of those trees in the yard 10 years ago. Today, none, zip. The wind would blow the limbs off. We finally got tired of it and just cut the rest of them down, hauled them off. But we have a river birch right by our little pond in the back. And that birch has withstood the storms, severe winters and summers, and it keeps on growing. Year after year, it's withstood the test of time and weather. Caleb was like that river birch tree. And we need more Calebs like that who relied on the promises of God. And God's promises were the ground of his constant faith. We see that in verses 9 and 12. Several passages in the Pentateuch provide the background for this testimony. In Numbers 14:24, which I already cited, and also Deuteronomy 1:36, we read, "Accept or save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh," or Jephunneh. "He shall see it." God said, "You're going to see the land. And to him and his children I will give the land on which he has trodden, and to his children, because he's holy, follow the Lord." So there we have it again in the book of Numbers. I can just imagine in that wilderness wandering, Joshua and Caleb sitting around the campfire at night and talking about their journeys. "Where do you think we'll go tomorrow?" "Well, I'm not sure." "God leads us with a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night. I don't know where we're going to go tomorrow, but I know this. We had to bury 3 or 4 people here recently. And I don't know if they rejoiced over the deaths of these people, but it meant that they're closer to getting to the promised land." So as time went on, they got closer and closer to the time of entry into the land. But it had to be after all of those who were unbelievers had died off, and only the young ones were left. What patience he must have had. What endurance. Recognizing, realizing that God's promises were sure. Sometimes we get discouraged, we get despondent. Why won't the Lord deliver us? Why won't the Lord come back and take us up? Why doesn't God do this or that? Sometimes even the prophets of the Old Testament would get discouraged. "Lord, when are you going to intervene? When are you going to come and help us?" God promised to do that. In the meantime, he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. God is always there for us. And we need to focus our attention, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, on Jesus. We can't see him physically, but we can see him through the eyes of faith. You can see him, whom having not seen, we love. We love. And his promises are sure. Focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, ever living to make intercession for us while we wait on him. So continue to rely on the promises of God. Thirdly, I want us to see this wholehearted faith was a confident faith in the presence of God. Verses 12 through 15. "Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Now I am confident that when Caleb had said earlier in verse 11, "And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me," that he was speaking literally. I think that God had enabled Caleb to retain the strength of a 40-year-old, so that when he is able to go into the land, he's able to go in strong and vigorous like he was 45 years earlier. I kind of envy Caleb today. Been a long time since I've seen 40. and to have the vigor and strength of a 40-year-old now, let alone a 20-year-old, my grandkids. Oh, that would be great. So God rewarded his faith, I think, by allowing him to retain that human strength. So he was able to go in, but he realized that to do what he needed to do wasn't, he wasn't putting all of that on his own physical strength. He needed the presence of God. And when the Hebrew says here, if so be, the Lord will be with me, verse 12, that we shouldn't see that as a question, if so be. You know, maybe the Lord will be with me or maybe he won't. No, that's not what it means. It means I have hope in the Lord that he will be with me. I'm not questioning that. He's been with me all of these years in the wilderness. And I know he's going to be with me. Why? Because of the promise, because of the power. So I can rest assured on his presence being with me. So this wholehearted faith was a confident faith in the presence of God. Perhaps the Lord will be with me. I know he'll be with me. You know, everyone is speaking of success, but notice that this is the secret of success in the Word of God. When God deigns, when it pleases him to be with a man or a woman. When you read that, you know, the Lord was with him. That's spoken of Moses, it's spoken of Abraham, it's spoken of David, it's spoken of Joshua. The Lord was with him. We kind of just read that in passing like that just, you know, incidental. It really isn't. The Lord is with this person for a special reason, for a purpose, for a mission. And that's true of Caleb. So when you read that the Lord Jesus is with us, that he promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us, that's very special. He's with you individually. He's with us corporately as a church. Don't just consider that incidental. That's vital. That's vital to the life and ministry and mission of our church. And when the Lord is with us, that's you know, that guarantees success. So Caleb wholly followed the Lord, confidently relying on his presence to get the victory and lay hold of his inheritance. Did that happen? Sure did, didn't it? Look at verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, the day when this book was written. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the Lord, and the land had rest from war. And we read in the opening chapter of the book of Judges that that's exactly what happened, that Caleb was successful in defeating that city and that whole region around it. And that's another story, but God was faithful in allowing him to take that city that he promised to give him. Folks, God seeks men and women of courage, of constancy, of confidence to serve him. We must determine with the help of God, who has already marked his enemies for destruction, to drive their systems of unbelief from our midst, to have no part with unbelief, to not ever let it darken the door of this assembly. And we, and I say we, our church, Community Baptist in Greer, South Carolina, are praying for you Our people are praying for you regularly that God will give you wisdom in the selection of a pastor. That is a huge responsibility for both you and him. That God will give you a Caleb, a man of faith, a man of courage, a man of confidence in the promises and presence of God and the power of God in his life. We're praying to that end for you. In the meantime, continue faithful. You know, continue to be true to the Lord no matter what. And God will bless you for that. Started to ask you if you have any questions. My teacher cap got on for just a minute there. I guess that would be okay to do, but ask me afterwards. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for how good you are to us. Thank you for this people of God that have stayed true over the years. They left a facility, left an assembly, and to start this church years ago, and you've honored them for that courageous decision. We know it was a hard decision for some of them to make, and yet you blessed that courageous faith. Continue to bless them. Honor yourself through them. Give wisdom and guidance to the leaders of the church as they look for a man to replace the former pastor. And we pray, dear Lord, that your name will continue to be honored and glorified in this local church. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.